How we doing? I want to touch on a issue that I kind of ended my last podcast with, but I kind of want to get into it just a little bit more in depth. This podcast here won't be long, but I just kind of want to put some emphasis on, you know, the breathalyzer for semi truck CDL truck drivers. I definitely want to talk about, you know, is there a reason that we do not have like breathalyzers in semis right now? And the reason why I say this is because you have so many drivers that are out due to marijuana, and they have, and this most of this is just on pre-employment, not anything that they have done while in the truck, because that's something that lingers in your system. So it's like you could be out there on the road and they could say, hey, when you come in, or obviously, you know, DOT can pull you over and make you obviously do your analysis test. But when we talk about closing the gap and you have these breathalyzer tests in semi trucks, now that will, it won't close the gap completely, because you got guys who still gonna obviously drink, you know, when their, you know, time has elapsed for in which alcohol is lingers in one's system. However, can you imagine the amount of individuals who will go and get in a truck and think that they're able to beat a breathalyzer, you know, moments after drinking? And the one thing that I thought about was like, how many individuals are gonna, and I think again, if you're gonna, you know, give marijuana such a hard time, you know, I think this is definitely, you know, if you're not going to make it recreational for the most part, for like most drivers, you know, to do what they do on their all time, I'm totally against anybody controlling what a driver does on their off time, as well as all of the regulations that with the clearinghouse. And I think that if you do this, can you imagine the amount of drivers who will basically be leaving their truck right where they're, wherever they're at, after coming in or getting in their vehicle, wherever they're at, whatever state, city they're in, at that moment, the minute your truck does not start up due to a breathalyzer test, you're forbidden for driving, period. At that point, you are considered off duty. And when I say off duty, I don't mean just your 10-hour delay. I'm concerned you're ineligible to drive your truck at that moment, regardless of where you are. A company cannot tell you to get back in your truck and just get the truck back to the yard after you sobered up. At that particular moment, you become ineligible to drive if you get in the truck and your truck is not able to start due to these shutdown, ignition up, engine shutdown breathalyzers. Once you take that breathalyzer, you are considered ineligible to drive and considered immediately at that moment for SAP. How will they particularly deal with those situations? Obviously, like I said before, the company will have to end up, whoever you're driving for, will have to end up getting you back home without you driving that truck at that moment. It immediately has to stay parked wherever it's parked at. What truck stop, wherever you at, wherever you had your drink, wherever you stop, just even if you were driving down a road and you've been drinking, but you decide you need to stop and go to the bathroom, and you have to turn off your truck for any reason, or you stop for any reason, you have to turn off your truck, and then you go to get back, and then you're considered intoxicated. At that moment, and your truck won't start, at that moment, you're stuck. Wherever it is, you're stuck because your truck should be completely disabled, or you should get a call possibly from the company or dispatcher, someone within the company, and let you know you are not to move that vehicle at that particular time. I mean, do I agree with all of the oversight? Well, I figure if you're trying to close every gap on, you know, making, you know, the road safe, I figure if you're trying to do it, you're trying to do it regardless. Again, with every vehicle, every personal vehicle that is supposed to have like this new system in place with the breathalyzer that are going to be in every car starting 2026, supposedly. Again, I believe Ford has started adopting them at Volvo. And then, I mean, that makes, we say, you know, the Freightliner, obviously, and Volvo trucks probably be the, you know, first ones, I would imagine. I don't know. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, I think I heard or seen somewhere where Snyder has already started implementing this. However, once that driver is out there on the road, no matter what, where he's at, and his truck is turned off for any reason, and he basically ends up having to get in that truck, and he's under the influence or intoxicated, immediately he's eligible for SAP at that very moment, and he cannot move that truck. So how will companies deal with getting a driver from wherever he's at, whatever location he is at, and getting that truck back to where it needs to be without that driver taking initiative and driving it? That's something that a company is gonna have to deal with. Now, there's possibly a lot of ways around that where a driver just don't turn off his truck in a lot of cases. But how many drivers actually will turn off their truck and can't turn it back on if they fail the breathalyzer, if they feel they could get away with, you know, beating the breathalyzer, you know, moments, you know, before getting in the truck? I don't know how you would do that, but that's going to be something, and that's going to be a challenge, I think, for a lot of companies. Because, you know, I don't see how every driver, you know, is going to... I know that most drivers probably will be able to get through, but I feel like a good percentage of drivers will end up being stuck somewhere. Being stuck somewhere because they were unable to start their trucks due to intoxication. And at that moment, they would be eligible for a SAP program, and they would be, you know, ineligible to drive until they completed a SAP program, which again, I find that a lot of the, you know, and again, I don't agree that anybody should get in a truck driving while drinking. I'm simply just saying that if they're interested in closing the gap on which all of these drivers that are out for just marijuana who wasn't even actually driving at the moment, a lot of it's pre-employment, or they perhaps may have been called in and just take a random and so be it. But when I say that, I mean like basically out driving, and they're not in a situation that they could just take a random until they gotten back to, you know, their terminal or whatever the case may be. But in event, we're talking drivers who will stop, maybe have to turn off their truck, maybe visit a family member somewhere in a particular state, girlfriend, who knows, and end up having a drink or two. And then for you know it, they have to go and make their load, and they end up getting in their truck and they end up drinking. I mean, they were drinking prior and they end up trying to start up their vehicle and they can't take off. And it don't just, and it's not a matter of, okay, let me sober up and since my truck wouldn't start. At least it shouldn't be. Because I don't see a company allowing a driver to moments after, you know, failing a breathalyzer and his tractor wouldn't start up, that they would allow you after the fact. I would think it would be maybe shut down permanently, or would disable your truck to start up permanently. I don't think that you would make it back to your terminal. So I just want to know what the thoughts are on that. Again, you know, because I don't see them not implementing every single truck, fleet of trucks that are out on the road. Every single one, I don't see how it would not be mandated by 2026 for every single truck on the road to have these like breathalyzers in them if they're implementing them in the new vehicles, in these newer vehicles. And they say they're doing this in the attempt to stop people from getting DUIs or being, you know, out on the road and being a danger in personal vehicles. Because the problem is you could get obviously someone in a personal vehicle who could do something stupid and it could cause someone to get in an accident. Obviously, that's why they're putting these in place. You know what I mean? So, and your car would be disabled. Now, obviously, you know, I think they're going to have video, audio, passive recording, video, audio. And obviously, with these semis, they've already established, you know, video inside your trucks already, pretty much. That's kind of been the thing that's been going on for quite some time already. But it would be really interesting to see how Jimmy, who lives in Utah, is somewhere in, Missouri, and all of a sudden he stops somewhere and have a few drinks, you know, during his break or whatever, like truck drivers normally do. You know, let's face it, if you're gonna give marijuana a hard time, as far as what people do on their off time. And I'm not saying people shouldn't be allowed not to drink, you know, on their off time. They should be allowed to drink on their off time. And then on top of it, like I said, the substitute in which people will substitute drinking alcohol because they can't, you know, smoke marijuana on their off time. You're going to get a lot more drivers now also, I feel, in my opinion, who will who will get in their trucks and their trucks potentially won't start just because they understand and they learn what the clearinghouse has done to previous drivers and stuff. So, you know, a lot of them are not going to take the chance. They prefer alcohol, and which is easily accessible in a lot of situations where drivers, you know, will have it in their trucks at a lot of stops just because how easily accessible it is and the lag time in your system. You're going to get a lot of drivers who are not going to be able to start their trucks at that, in you know, suddenly on the spot wherever they at. And again, it would be irresponsible for a company to say your truck wouldn't start. Let's just say, you know, you're able to start your truck after your breathalyzer, after your, you know, alcohol level has come down. I can't see why you would be able to, because if you you know, couldn't start it initially because of a breathalyzer, I don't see them allowing you to move forward, because that would probably put you at higher risk based on the company, because you could go somewhere else down the road and just not turn your truck off and end up, you know, going inside and grabbing you another drink and somehow, some way before you reach your destination. And then, because now at this point, the company is aware that you failed a alcohol breathalyzer in your truck initially. So I can't see them saying, okay, well, when you get back with your load, you're going to have to, you're going to be on off duty. You may possibly lose your job, or we're going to send you through a SAP program and, you know, and so forth for whatever, because like I say, if you work for a company and you have to go through a SAP program, you still get to keep your job. It's when you're screwed is when you're not. You get more screwed when you're not working for a company and you go in for a pre-employment, then you're judged. But if that driver who is working for a company, they can keep their job. If they lose their job, then they're going to have the uphill battles of someone who potentially was just going in for a pre-employment. That's when it gets more tougher, is because now, you know, you got companies that are looking at the fact that you're in a clearinghouse and you still got, you know, go through this SAP program, and you got to be put on duty, and then you have to go through your six randoms and everything. So, you know, so this clearinghouse creates challenges for individuals who are not already presently working at a company. So I suggest if that happens for you, I mean, you know, you're somewhere making decent money and you're not having to settle for the lesser of a company, and you like the job you're on and the route you're on, and, you know, and you just, you know, is the company where you're at, you don't have an issue working for them, you're better off in that situation, because, you know, you're familiar with what you're doing. You're probably not at a crappy company at, you know, for the most part, like someone who have limited options if they're not working. And why that is, I have no clue. I figure and a lot of companies, you know, I figure once you go through that process, no one should discriminate against you as far as anything, you know, as far as any of that is concerned. But once you're at a company, you should be potentially safe there. You'll just be end up going through that process. But again, what I would like to definitely know how companies would deal with the challenge of a driver potentially being out on the road somewhere and end up failing the breathalyzer in that truck. Because again, I can't see, it doesn't even make sense, and for them to say, okay, move forward continue on and just get the truck back here safe after your truck wouldn't start out. They will have to work that out. They will have to make sure they get you home, and they will have to make sure that they get that load delivered, possibly. Maybe have someone get that load and get you back safe where you're not driving at this point. You're potentially in the passenger seat of another semi driver, another tractor trailer driver, another CDL driver. You're potentially in the passenger seat until you gotten back to the terminal. And at that moment, your process will begin. And this is all challenges that are, these are going to be some, challenges that have to be met when and once they've started these breathalyzer tests. Once they start implementing these breathalyzer tests and these devices inside of your semi. Again, a lot of regulation going on. So I would like to know what y'all thoughts on this. I appreciate y'all listening to me. But again, these are going to be some uphill challenges for companies as well. And I don't disagree with it because, like I say, if you're going to tell people what they can do on their off time, I mean, you sure as hell should have a grip what people can do on the spot, on the drop of the dime while out there on the road. So I have no doubt that they will be putting these breathalyzer devices in every truck. And again, there's no truck that should not have it. I would say there's no truck that shouldn't have it right now at this moment as we speak. However, definitely by 2026, if all personal vehicles are going to have it. By the way, I'm not interested in having a vehicle of a 2026 or higher, I would suggest it. Because these devices will be able to take over your car. They would take over the steering for you. There's a lot of things that would tell you if you're driving out of your norm. And there's a lot of times, there's a lot of situations where you have to speed up and different things like that. It will take over the wheel for you, will record you passively, and you develop, it gives feedback, it keeps data on your on how you drive. It keeps a complete data from what I was, reading regarding this device and personal cars. It keeps complete data on you and, your driving habits. Anything above or beyond the threshold of your driving habits, the wheel could be potentially taken over for you, and the vehicle could be, parked, or could not start. The start button can be disabled if you get in and it is to have sensed any type of alcohol on you to start. And it pretty much what these semis should have as well. So I'm looking at this as more of a feature to cost. This is going to be something that's going to cost manufacturers versus, I'm not saying it's not a good thing, but I just don't think a lot of people like the idea of their vehicle not, them not having the control over their own personal vehicle that they pay substantial amount of money for. And all of a sudden, some may look at this as a quality feature. However, I think a lot of them may frown at this idea. And if anybody will want a vehicle to take over for them under the terms of which they the vehicle detects something being unsafe, I would think it would be a semi versus someone's personal car, in my opinion. So again, it wouldn't make sense to not have that implemented in semis before cars, if not in semis, as of now, way before they even implement it in your personal vehicle. Considering drivers, another thing about this is, like, also as a as a semi driver, you know, you're highly criticized for everything that you do in your personal car. So if you are a semi driver and you obtain a 2026 and higher, everything that you do in your personal car, and you have this recording, breathalyzer, audio, data keeping device in your personal car, it can affect everything you do as far as your job is concerned, you know, when you go to drive a truck. Because now you're being monitored in your personal car, and then when you go to work, you're being monitored in your truck, in your work truck. So you will have to take a breathalyzer. You know, I mean, you will not. You're actually taking a breathalyzer once you get in your personal car, and then you also will be taking a breathalyzer if you're a CDL driver when you get in to your job and have to drive your truck. And again, like I said, everything that you do in your personal car, you can, let's say you get in your personal car and you can't start your personal car because of your breathalyzer was came back and your blood alcohol was too heavy and it tracked that and your car is disabled. How would that affect a CDL driver? I mean, you know, because again, CDL drivers are judged from everything in their personal cars as of today. So how would that affect you if you leaving a party? And again, I don't advise anybody to drive under the influence, but how would that affect you? How would that affect your licenses if you drive for a living? You know, how would that affect your licenses, your professional CDL license, if you drive for a living? So there's going to be some challenges to be met with this breathalyzer situation. However, again, there should not be breathalyzers in personal cars or in any new vehicles before they are actually in semis. But again, it makes sense that why I see it. I understand why this industry is definitely not going to be very attractive anymore. All right. Peace out to everybody. I actually spent a little bit more time on this than I want, but I want to put a little bit more emphasis on it because I touched on it in my last podcast, but I want to put a little bit more detail emphasis on this just kind of to make individuals think about what they getting into being a CDL driver. Because again, if you a type of guy that like want to, you know, keep up with the modern vehicles and different stuff, and you trade your car in or whatever, and you get something newer, just keep in mind when you get a 2026, you know, in the future, how will that affect your situation? Because you ultimately, your car is just going to shut down. If you're not a CDL driver, your car is just going to shut down. It won't allow you to drive, but there will still be data kept on you. So I know it's supposed to possibly affect rates, from motel rates to insurance rates to credit. You know, from the information that I got looking at this stuff, how would that affect you with job employment? How would that affect you in the future with so many other, you know, different things as a CDL driver when you go to work and that data is collected on you and it states, hey, your personal vehicle, and they call you in the office and they say, hey, well, we got a report that, you know, your personal vehicle would not start or something like that. And, you know, this data is passed on, because I believe that information would be shared as a CDL driver. And how would that affect, you know, the clearinghouse as a CDL driver, considering everything that you do already as a CDL driver and everything that you would do in your personal car is affected as a CDL driver? You know, talking about the standards that a CDL driver has to try to uphold, boy, I mean, wow. guys can't catch a break. More regulation. Just what we need. Now, we definitely need safe drivers out there, but I think this here is kind of, in my opinion, puts drivers, CDL drivers, just in a box. I mean, really, even in a more box than they already in. This is really putting them in a tough corner as a CDL driver, because and you're, again, from the least little thing that you do out your driving, routine, could be judged. How would that affect you as a CDL driver in your truck? Think about that, folks. Everybody have a good one. I appreciate you. This is A1. You guys have a good and blessed day. And thanks again for listening to me. I appreciate it. Diversity all the way. Peace out.